In God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good day today. We thank God for the beauty and the blessing of this day. Couldn't have it any better. It's a pleasure to be here in Burnett from North Austin and to worship with you. You probably have heard the story, but it is worth repeating. This is a story about David. David is a devout Christian man who loves nature so much that he enjoys hiking in the woods. So often while hiking, he will fill his time with prayers, intercessory prayers for everyone who is in his life. On one of those excursions in a deserted mountainous area, on this particular day, David tripped on the root of a tree and began to spiral down and just roll down the hill in the valley below him. As he tumbled downwards, he frantically reached for anything he could grab onto hold. Fortunately, his hands grabbed a tree branch, which he held on for dear life. The only problem was that he was now hanging about 200 feet, and below him was a rocky landing area. It meant certain death should he have let go, or at least serious injuries. So as he prayed for miracle, he began to scream out loud for any passersby who could hear. And as he screamed, "Help! Help! Is anybody there?" he thought he heard God calling him by name and asking him to let go of the tree branch. So to be sure, David asked, "God, is that you out there?" And the voice replied, "Yes, David, I'm here to save you. Just let go." David looked down below him from where he was perched at the edge of a cliff. And realizing he wasn't going to get a soft landing, he looked up and asked, "Is anyone else out there?" Is anyone else out there? In the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In today's gospel reading, we hear the disciples of Jesus asking their teacher for more faith. One can tell from the kinds of questions that these disciples ask that they weren't quite sure what they got themselves into when they signed up to be disciples of Jesus. Today's petition, "Lord, increase our faith," is another example of their lack of understanding. And frankly, we can't blame them. Because just before this passage, Jesus had overwhelmed them with something about going to Jerusalem and stuff would happen in Jerusalem to him. And he would be, arrested and tried and even killed. So they were overwhelmed. And I can understand why they're asking. Because they're headed towards Jerusalem. And they knew something big was happening, but they just didn't know exactly what it was. But they were worried about how those events would impact their lives. You see, in the first four verses before our passage today, Jesus had informed the disciples that occasions will come for stumbling, but woe to the one who will cause that stumbling. And oh, it gets even better. Jesus tells them that when a brother or sister sins against them and repents, and then comes back to ask for forgiveness again and again, even 7 times a day, they should forgive. No wonder the disciples were pleading to have their faith increased, because surely they thought it's going to take a lot more than friendship with Jesus to be able to tolerate, let alone to maintain, a relationship with someone who is a repeat offender. So when Jesus called his disciples to take up their cross and follow him, none of them could have imagined what they really meant. None of them thought that this would be it. Now they were heading towards Jerusalem, and they needed to prepare themselves for what was about to happen. They needed to be ready for when Jesus was no longer with them. Again, the author of the letter to the Hebrews wrote, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Perhaps the disciples of Jesus thought that faith was something like an asset to be accumulated. In other words, the person with the most faith gets a front row seat in heaven. But obviously, as we know, there's an inherent flaw, an inherent danger in that assumption. Because it would mean that one could master the art of accumulating more faith, then one would be a better Christian. But no. Jesus is saying all it takes to do great things is a faith as tiny as a mustard seed. Simply put, simple, not simplistic, but simple faith and trust in God is all it takes to do extraordinary things. The late theologian Henry Nouwen goes on to write, "Whenever Jesus says to people he has healed, 'Go because your faith has made you well,' he's saying that they have found a new life because they have surrendered in complete trust to the love of God revealed in him." Bishop William Willimon of the United Methodist Church describes faith this way. He says, "Faith is a gift from God and not something we have to work hard to get." My friends, you see, the faith which Jesus is speaking about with his disciples is one about trusting God with our lives, our very lives. It's about knowing and believing that God is faithful, that God will always, always remain faithful. It is about a relationship that is grounded in the knowledge that we are the beloved children of God. And there is absolutely nothing, no nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. It seems apparently that most of the time, just as in this particular case, our problem with lack of faith is fear. Just like David, it is fear. What will happen if I let go of this branch and fall? Will God really be there to catch me? Sometimes our lack of faith is fear of the unknown. What will happen if I gave my last to this person in need? Will I have something tomorrow? What will happen to me without enough insurance when I get sick? What will happen to me without life insurance if when I die? It is fear of the unknown. So all the healing miracles that Jesus performed in his earthly ministry showed his total trust in God. Trust in God to use him as an instrument of healing, one life at a time. For us then, faith requires constant trust in God through the daily acts that we perform and the mercy we show to our neighbors, one neighbor at a time, even to our strangers. Faith requires us to live fully and abundantly in a trusting relationship with the God who can use us in ways that we can never imagine to bring about transformation, yes, to change us and to change others. I once read faith described as a muscle in our body. When your muscle is in constant use, it builds up and gets stronger. But when neglected, it withers and dies. Somehow by telling his disciples that they only needed to have a tiny faith to be faithful agents of God and of good change in the world, Jesus is saying, in a sense, that the way we carry on our daily lives is full of opportunities for God's grace to break in through the hardness of our hearts, for God's love to break in through a difficult world and transform lives around us. What may seem to you and me as mundane and ordinary can be used by God as a moment of grace to change someone's life circumstances. What may seem as too little, too insignificant, can be used by God to accomplish great things. Essentially, asking for an increase in my faith is like asking God to increase my bank account so that I can respond to the needs of the poor, or asking God to increase my faith is like asking him to be able to show kindness, to give him more faith so that I can show kindness to the miserable and the lonely. Some of us have the misperception that an act of faith needs to be costly or extravagant before it can merit God's attention. But in today's gospel, actually, Jesus dispels that myth and invites you and me into a trusting and loving relationship with God and our neighbor. I guess we can begin by living our lives with total trust, trust in the God who called us his beloved at our baptism. The God whose love for us is unconditional, so much so that we can confidently love and embrace others because he loved us first. Indeed, it may seem to be a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the loving God. Yet, our God is loving, so loving, that only he, can give us the faith we need to do what is necessary and what needs to be done. And now to God, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish so much more than we can either ask or desire or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus in all generations. Amen.